General Government Subcommittee. And Anne-Marie, are you ready? I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 420 and ask Mr. Rocco to share with the committee, walk through his memo, and then just so that everybody in the audience is forewarned, I think I'm going to ask the representatives of the Law Commission to come forward and we'll have a little conversation, just so that you can expect that we're going to chat about sort of what the parameters of this bill look like and what the expectations are of the Law Commission. So, Mr. Rocco.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, the Senate Bill 420 came to the Budget Committee from Senate Rules, where it was amended to require the Oregon Law Commission to do a comprehensive project on the reform of government ethics and report to the legislature by October 1st of 2006. There's attached to my memo is the A engrossed bill, the staff measure summary from the Rules Committee, and an amendment, the dash A5s, which all this does is fill in a blank in the A engrossed bill with a $224,000 general fund appropriation. The report required in the bill is supposedly to include recommended legislation, recommendations on the organization structure and processes for administering and enforcing government ethics laws, recommendations relating to ethical standards for public officials, public employees, and lobbyists, and then also recommendations on how to fund whatever entity is going to administer the ethics laws. The $224,000 in the bill is actually paid directly to the Department of Administrative Services, and they will distribute this to the Law Commission through quarterly allotments. The Law Commission intends on using these funds for to hire another staff attorney dedicated to this project, a part-time clerical position, and some redirection of the commission director and deputy director time. And then there's a small amount for consultant fees, postage, and copying. And the reason for the 8 quarterly allotments is the Law Commission anticipates, even after the report being provided, that they are going to need some staffing through the session to explain and to the materials of the report to the next assembly and to carry, you know, the bill through to its end.
Thank you. Any questions of Mr. Rocco? Okay. Wendy, I'd like to invite you to come forward. Good afternoon. And if you'd introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you. Chair Johnson, members of the committee, my name is Wendy Johnson, Deputy Director of the Oregon Law Commission. I'm an attorney, but I'm on loan basically to the Law Commission. I'm actually employed by Willamette University, but Willamette University has a public-private partnership with the state of Oregon and has since 2000 when the Law Commission was funded.
Thank you very much. Have you had the opportunity to look at Mr. Rocco's LFO recommendation and discuss it with him at all?
Senator Johnson, members of the committee, yes, I've just briefly read through the memo now, but I had talked to Mr. Rocco ahead of time to figure out what would go in this blank. So this is the Law Commission's recommendation for the dollar amount.
Well, and that's one of the points that I think we want to be very, very clear on the record about, and with the committee's indulgence. This was a number very close to your initial request in your policy option packages, and I think what we want to establish here and make sure that there's a mutual understanding is that this appropriation is, in effect, a fee for service. And that through this bill and your engagement in the bill, there is a very distinct work product being expected, and that this is simply not money to be able to do any of the initiatives necessarily that you brought forward in your policy option packages, but rather to undertake this extremely important work. And I think today's headlines just underscored why this is especially timely and appropriate work. And I want to make sure that the record clearly reflects the expectation that this is a distinct assignment to the Law Commission from the legislature with an appropriate amount of money to be able to discharge this weighty responsibility, and I would invite your response.
Senator Johnson, members of the committee, the Law Commission understands how important this project is, and it is their top priority for this session, for the upcoming session. The Law Commission already has agreed to a number of other projects as well, but with this additional funding, we believe we can handle both the ethics project as well as some of our ongoing projects.
Could you describe for the committee and for the record what projects you believe you're going to be undertaking in addition to this? If memory serves me correctly, you came forward with 23 pieces of legislation this session, and unless somebody can cogently convince me otherwise, I don't know how you're going to have time to be developing as many projects as you develop given the scope of this charge, and particularly because I think you're not going to be able to avoid some of the questions of campaign and lobby contributions to campaign accounts and how those are used. I don't know how you're going to be able to avoid delving into that realm as well, and I still don't feel a level of personal reassurance that you're going to be able to juggle all of this stuff. So if you would give us a recitation of what all you think you're going to be undertaking, that would be, I think, useful to the panel.
Sure. Senator Johnson, members of the committee, the way the Law Commission works is that it works by work groups. We have 13 commissioners. So I anticipate that maybe two or three at the most of our commissioners will actually be on the ethics project, and then staff will assist that. But the way the Law Commission works is we gather expertise from across the state. We gather judges and lawyers who volunteer their time. And let me tell you, the phone has already been ringing of people who want to be involved with this particular project. So having a big project like the ethics project, while it does take a lot of time, and we will be busy with that project for the 2 years. Basically a work group can only meet once and maybe twice a month because of just juggling schedules and such. So it's a couple hour meeting once a month or so. But so it doesn't take all that time of staff, totally dedicated in terms of taking all of our resources, but it will take another person in addition to what we have right now to handle all of our commission projects. It would be a shame to have only a couple of our commissioners busy during the interim on a project and not keep those other commissioners engaged in law reform projects. But to answer your question, what other projects we have agreed to look at, we have agreed to look at criminal background checks. The Oregon statutes have background check provisions all throughout them. There is a big piece of legislation this session that provides federal authority to do a federal background check, but there are lots of other issues that haven't been discussed, including what does a background check mean? Does it include a driving record? What issues should be thought of when you're doing a background check for employment purposes, privacy issues, all those things. Nobody has ever done a systematic review of background checks for all the agencies and even private groups that do background checks. So we have that on our list to improve public safety. There's a government bonding group that's already started that Chair Shetterly is chairing, and that group is looking at three of Oregon's chapters on state and local government borrowings. The bonding chapters have grown out of date and haven't been reviewed in a long time, and state and local government authority have been mixed together, and it's costing the state a lot of money in terms of extra attorney time to try to figure out what our statutes say. The Uniform Parentage Act is also a project the Law Commission agreed to before session, and that looks at paternity issues in Oregon. Biology issues have changed so much since when those statutes were in effect regarding DNA testing and such that couldn't be done when the statutes were originally written. And so we need to look at paternity and child support issues again with a work group that we've already been working with, but we'll need to add more people to. So those are the main ones. And then we have four other issues that I'm already aware of that the commission is under consideration. There's a project involving juvenile fitness to proceed standards. A juvenile shouldn't be adjudicated unless they're fit to proceed, and there's not a process in Oregon for that issue. There is a process for adult court, but there's nothing for juvenile court. Senator Kate Brown has chaired a juvenile improvement project every session since the Law Commission has been going on, and so that would probably fall under that rubric if we did accept that project. Along the same lines, there's a probation violation sanction issue of when juveniles they violate their probation, what the sanction should be. There's not clear authority in statute. And so that project, there was a bill this session that failed. And so the Law Commission is looking at that issues for the DAs and the defense attorneys and how to bridge a compromise and work with the courts as well. And then Senator Walker has raised the issue of mandatory child abuse reporting standards and the need for training and guidance more in statute on some of those issues. Again, these last three that I've mentioned have not been fully agreed to by the commission, but they're under consideration. And then last, we have so many projects that we have done over the last few years that are very big that oftentimes you have to do a cleanup bill in the next session. And so in the area of judgments and judicial sales, there may be some cleanup work.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It strikes me that the allocation, and I guess maybe direct this to Ken first, is high to accomplish the task that we've assigned or would be assigning to the Commission. You know, if we have 30 meetings, we're looking at, you know, $7,000-$8,000 a meeting. I mean, if you put it into kind of that context.
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, Senator Morris, I think the bulk of the cost is because of needing a full-time staff attorney, which takes up $160,000 of the cost, and that was based on the Law Commission's estimation of the amount of time that would be needed outside of the meetings itself, but to review other states' laws and other things like that.
It still seems high. I'd be delighted if they returned part of the monies to the back at the end of this process, but probably not given the retention of staff.
Senator Mercer.
Thank you. How many members of the commission will serve on this particular? Did you mention three?
Chair Johnson, Senator Moore said it hasn't been determined yet who will chair the project or who will serve on it, but I'm aware of at least two or three of our commissioners who have expressed interest.
And you pay per diem? You pay travel?
Senator Johnson, Senator Morissette, no, we do not pay per diem at all. The only members that are paid a per diem are the legislative members, and presently there are two appointed by the Speaker and two appointed by the Senate President. Presently, the Speaker has chosen not to appoint members, so there is no per diem, and the Senate President has appointed Senator Kate Brown and Senator Vicky Walker, so those would be the only two who would be eligible for a per diem.
Well, how about travel expenses?
Senator Morissette, we do not pay travel expenses either.
You raise a very interesting question, though, and given the complexity of this particular undertaking, complexity and I would submit controversy or potential controversy, during your remarks when you first came up to the table, you said the phone was ringing off the hook with people that were interested in participating. How will the commission go about making sure that there is, for lack of a better word, an appropriate mix of opinions at the table? I think for many of us that have been activists around issues at one time or another in our professional lives, who's at the table is the pivotal is a pivotal piece of how good the outcome is and how credible the outcome is. For the benefit of the record and the people listening to this, could you detail how it is that you decide who gets a place at the table?
Thank you, Senator Johnson. Yes, the Law Commission has a very detailed framework for how it appoints work group members. We're looking for expertise, not who someone might represent. And when members are appointed, they receive an appointment letter congratulating them to be appointed. But the letter also says that the person is to, because most of our members are work group members, are lawyers, they're not to be representing an interest at the table, that they are to bring their expertise, but they're not to be representing a client per se. We want their expertise, and we choose our membership based on expertise, that we don't want it to be a client-driven product. It's supposed to be the best law reform product for the state and not to be an interest driven. That aside, the law commission looks at who obviously has an interest in the issue. In this particular project, the governor in his veto letter on last session's ethics bill detailed a list of folks who should be considered, including state and local government persons. And it's
names or positions?
Positions or at least interests that should be at least included. But again, it's expertise driven. It shouldn't be who somebody represents, but it oftentimes is a person who is no longer serving as the public official is what might be what we might be looking for, somebody who has an expertise but not a vested interest presently.
I want to go back to a comment Senator Morse made about the amount of money being appropriated for this project. It is a personal disappointment to me that my law school elects not to participate. And it's something that I intend to address with them as a member of their Board of Visitors. I also am disappointed that the University of Oregon elects not to participate and that the lion's share heretofore of the financial burden has fallen on Willamette. And Willamette has stepped up in the public interest. So I'm hopeful that somewhere over the course of the next 18 months on a project of this magnitude, that you all as a commission can figure out how to reach out to those other two law schools and ask them to offer their technical expertise, their people, their other resources, and I don't even know what resources they might have that would be useful. But this is a very substantial undertaking, and I think it's seen as a very serious undertaking by those of us in the process and many keen observers of the process. And I would hope that you would have the ability to stretch your net a little wider and try to encourage, entice, induce, whatever word you want to put in there, participation from the other two law schools.
Thank you, Senator Johnson. I appreciate those comments. When my understanding, and it was before my tenure at the commission, when the commission was first funded, the legislature sent out a notice and asked for RFPs in this to hold the law commission, to house the law commission, and Willamette came in at the best number, and the legislature agreed to make that decision. But it has been at cost to the university at Willamette and the law school, and the dean has expressed his concern of how the relationship has changed. Originally, this project, if you will, was a grant between the university and or a grant from the state to Willamette to fund the other half of it, and it has become more formalized. But I think it needs to be pointed out that the bulk of the benefits of the law commission is the state and its citizens and the judges and lawyers who participate, but are improving the laws that they work with. The legislature created this commission to assist it, especially because there are fewer and fewer lawyers in the legislature to improve the law, and it's expensive to improve the law. I mean, lobbyists don't generally push the issues the law commission does because it doesn't benefit them one client enough, but it benefits the state, and that's why the law commission was funded in the first place. But it does look expensive, but I think the legislature needs to remember that it's only about $100,000 a year for the last since 2000 that the legislature has been funding this commission, and the amount of work that it does for $100,000 a year is pretty cheap, because Willamette is providing all of the office space and the in-kind provisions and the phone bill and the electricity and all those things. So it's been very cheap for a long time. But the reality is, because of our success rate, we're being asked to do more and more things. But we've had the same staff since 2000.
Well, and in this case, I'm asking you to, personally, my opinion, to do fewer and fewer things and to focus intensely on this activity. And again, I think that it is the generalized understanding in this building that this is not money to just continue your routine menu of activities. This is very specific money for a very specific product with, I dare say, very high expectations around it. How would you feel about coming in and making a midterm report to the e-board just so that we all shared the confidence that there was a high degree of focus on this initiative with the Law Commission?
Senator Johnson, obviously I haven't spoken with the commission about that issue, but I think that our policy has always been very open in terms of how the Law Commission operates. We post all of our meetings, and so our work on a monthly basis is very open to the public, and I think the commission would be very receptive in reporting back on how things have progressed. I did provide, when this bill was before the Senate Rules Committee, a staff report from Professor Jerry Watson that outlined the ethical issues and just was a background research paper. That is already done at this point. And that basically was a gift from Willamette University because we did not have the extra funding at that point to do that research.
I don't think this panel has had the benefit of seeing that, and I would very much request that you could make it available to this committee as well.
I do have one copy with me today, but I'd be happy to provide copies to the members here.
But if Mr. Rucker would be okay if she gave you that copy, and if you'd give it to the professional staff, then we'll get copies disseminated. Thank you. Senator Morse.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The retention of an experienced attorney, and we're allocating $160,000, could you explain the nature of that relationship, whether you're hiring an attorney dedicated to that task or you're reaching out to someone on a bill-by-the-hour basis, and what the expected billing rate might be?
Thank you. Senator Johnson, Senator Morissette, the Law Commission hasn't made that decision. That generally has been up to Willamette University staff in consultation with the chair, vice chair of the Law Commission. Frankly, this process is, you know, we're a little surprised by how this process has taken on. We didn't ask for Senate Bill 420. We had an additional staff attorney in our option package, so it hasn't gone through how we might have expected it, so it hasn't really been fully vetted. But in consultation with the executive director's office staff, we're not sure if we might be able to find somebody on staff at Willamette in the law school who might help, or maybe we would hire a half-time person and then have another half-time person. But the point is, we would have an FTE's worth dedicated to this project. How we split it up might vary. As Senator Johnson has alluded, there are many issues that this project encompasses, including lobbying and some part of campaign finance, as well as the general ethical standards for both state and local government. And so it might make sense as the project progresses that it would be divided up over staff. And so we don't want to dedicate just one person, because my expertise is different than another attorney's expertise, for example. And so if we're working on a couple of parts of it in the same month, we actually may have two attorneys working on it part-time. I hope that's responsive.
I believe that this actually represents quite a departure in the relationship between the legislature and the Law Commission, that heretofore you've been largely self-directed and have had either commission members or legislators or other third parties bring weighty issues to your doorstep, weighty issues in need of legal expertise and in need of what I'm going to call a third-party neutral convener. This is the first time, I think, that there has been, in essence, a direct charge with money attached to it, where the legislature is ostensibly buying the expertise and the neutral convener ability of the Law Commission to provide the forum to have this kind of controversial debate. And I beg your correction if that assumption is wrong.
Senator Jones, I think that's correct. I mean, in the past, we have been funded, but it's been our discretion on choosing the projects we take on. The Law Commission has what's called a program committee that's chaired by the Attorney General, and that there's a process for determining which issues the Law Commission will take on, including is the project doable in the amount of time we have, and is it likely to pass, and can you do it in 2 years, and those types of things. That has gone into our decision-making process on other projects. In determining whether we're with the right venue, but an actual appropriation is never. This would be the first time.
But in effect, this actual appropriation with an expectation of a work product in a finite period of time puts the Law Commission under a level of time stress that you may not have been before. I mean, clearly, next session, when the Law Commission comes forward with a package, I think a great deal of how warmly that package is received will hinge on how comprehensive, thorough, and completed this work product is. So this is a little bit, we're taking you in a different direction, but with appreciation for the fact that you may represent the venue in which this kind of very controversial issue can be vetted and a set of recommendations made to the legislature.
I appreciate it. Senator Johnson, this is definitely it is the biggest project we've taken on, and there's a lot of risk to it. The Law Commission was created to do non-political law reform. This is not, it's pretty political. I mean, there's really no beans about it. So we have been reticent from the beginning, but a request from the governor and now a request from the legislature, you know, we really can't say no is kind of how the Law Commission looks at it. And we do believe we have the expertise to do it. But the product will have a lot of input, and it's difficult to determine how that input is going to work together. But we hope that we will be able to provide a product that we're proud of and the legislature will be proud of. But it's, you know, we're really ahead of all that. But that's our goal, to do just that.
You chose your words very carefully. You said reticent to accept this. I want to make sure on the record that there is no lack of clarity about what's happening here. Have you accepted this formally?
Yes, we have. I mean, we accepted it last year when the governor requested it with the veto, but it has expanded. As you know, lobbying was added to this bill.
Right.
Lobbying was not a clear directive from the governor's office, and so that's been added on. The structural reform was not in the original request from the governor's office. That has been added to this bill. So how large this bill is now is very substantial.
And the bill as it sits, with the charge as it sits, has been accepted by the Law Commission?
It has, by the program committee. They have reviewed Senate Bill 420. The full Law Commission has not seen full 420.
When will the full board act on accepting this?
They will need to meet in the next couple month or two to meet our statutory requirement. But the majority of the commissioners are on the program committee, or just under the majority, rather.
Do you have a mechanism to pull the rest of your commission?
I have sent out a budget letter that went out to the full to the key members of the Legislative Assembly who are budget matters. So the full commission is aware of the budgetary issues and aware of the ethics project generally.
Any other questions for Ms. Johnson?
I think you have heard, absent an objection, a desire by this panel to have a midterm report to the e-board, and I think perhaps the budget narrative may reflect that. I just want to make sure that that was not a passing comment, that there's I think we would very much like that to occur, just a status report.
Senator Johnson, you're not requiring a written report per se, but a verbal update, or I'm not familiar with the report process with the e-board.
I would anticipate, based on my experience, that it's a combination of both. It is not an exhaustive document, but it's the ability for you to make an appearance before the e-board midterm in this project and simply give a status report. Things are going well. We're ahead of date. We have all the right people, and they're functioning like a little Swiss clock, or coming in and saying we're lost, we can't get agreement on what time it is, and that sort of thing. I don't think anyone's expecting a rough draft of your preliminary findings, but they would certainly be eager to know that progress was being made and things are going well.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else for Ms. Johnson? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we all appreciate the Law Commission's willingness to undertake what has, I think, materialized as a very thorny problem. And I think, speaking for myself, we're looking forward to your work product putting us first among our sister states in having comprehensively dealt with a subject that I'm sure plagues other legislatures, too. So thank you and your professional colleagues and the commission for your willingness to take this on. And I think you'll be helping the state enormously by the delivery of a product that gives us all clear guidance.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Well, then I think we would be in a position to accept a motion on the bill. I'm not going to take any other testimony. We're noticed for a work session. And I believe we have built a pretty clear record about what the expectations are of this charge and this appropriation. So I would, the chair would entertain a motion to adopt the -5 amendments. Senator Morris moves the -5 amendments. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. I would now entertain a motion to move the bill as amended to the Senate Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation. Senator Morris moves Senate Bill 420 to the full Senate Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Mr. Rocco, anything else that the committee should deal with today?
Not that I'm aware of, Madam Chair.
Committee members, any concluding comments? Senator
Morrison. I would make one request of Ken when we draft the pony that we make an appropriate recognition of the assets that when a university is contributing. There's an awareness issue, I think, an education issue within the body that would be helpful.
I think that's a very good point, because Willamette has shouldered the financial burden of the Law Commission for a long time.
Senator Morrison.
I would recommend that Senator Brown carry the bill.
I think as a courtesy to Senator Brown, unless there is objection, then we will assign Senator Brown as the carrier.
I'm up to full.
I'll do it at full.
Okay.
Okay. And, colleagues, I do not know what our schedule is for tomorrow, but as soon as I find out, I will try to transmit that information to you. Unless we hear otherwise, I think we're still scheduled for one tomorrow. There are a number of policy bills that I am hopeful will still see this committee and that we'll have the opportunity to deal with. So we'll get notice around as soon as I know. So
okay.
Unless there's any other comments, we stand adjourned.